The home is God's oldest and greatest institution. The statement goes that as the home goes, so goes the church, and as the church goes, so goes the nation. And I would dare say that there is not one here this morning that would disagree with the fact that our nations as a whole and the church at large are struggling today. The moral fiber of our society is crumbling, the results of which are staggering. Inflated crime rates as a whole have increased. There's been an increase of violence. There's been an increased denial of truth with all of its resultant rise of errors. Our society is accepting all forms of sin. And the sad reality is so many churches are accepting those sins as well. The key to helping our society is the church. God has ordained the church in this day, and the church is the key to helping our society. The key to a strong and effective church are good and godly homes. And the key, folks, to a good and a godly home revolves around men who know, love, and serve the Lord. You and I today, men, live in a day and age where men need to rise to the challenge. We live in a day where men need to stand up and lead their homes in the ways of righteousness. And that call needs to be sounded from the pulpit, and that call needs to be received by the men in the pews. Our thoughts today are not going to be geared specifically to the role of a father, but this morning I want to speak, as we mentioned on Mother's Day, to men in general. And today I want to speak to you on the topic of biblical manhood. I want you to take your Bible and open with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 this morning. We're going to look at just one verse of Scripture in relation to the concept of a biblical view of manhood. There's a need for men to be men today. There's a need for men to rise up and be leaders of their homes today. And I trust that we as men would receive the challenge that we find in God's Word, that we would receive it, accept it, and seek to live according to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look with me if you would, simply at verse 13. Paul writes and says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Let's pray. Father, we ask and pray today that you would help us as we come to the study of your word. Lord, as we challenge men today, that, Lord, we would receive that challenge to be as men ought to be godly leaders of their homes, to be willing to stand, to be counted for. Lord, that we would stand against sin and stand for righteousness. That, Lord, we would be a voice for you in this day and generation. That we would allow and guide our families to be strong, godly homes, that from those godly homes there can be a godly church that will be able to be truly salt and light in the world that is so dark and filled with sin. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us today as men to receive your word as it is in truth. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 gives to us four basic challenges, I believe, with regards to biblical manhood. Again, we live in a day when men need to be men. We live in a day when men need to be strong leaders, where men need to be godly examples. We live in a day when men need to stand against evil and stand against false doctrines. They need to protect their families. They need to protect the church from all the corrupting influences of our society. We live in a day when men need to be willing to take heed to the word of God. And men need to walk in truth. In a moment, we're going to consider those challenges together. But men, I trust that you understand the importance and the necessity for godly men in our day. Matter of fact, I think if you go back and you look throughout the history and you study through your scriptures, As society and the world around us was in darkness, God has always been looking for a man that will stand and lead. God is looking for men that are willing to count the cost. God is willing for there to be men that will stand up and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it doesn't matter what anyone else does, but I take a stand as a leader." And men, I want you to know something. God is looking for men today that will stand up and be men. We live in a day and age, in a society today, where men are no longer willing to do that. We live in a society filled with weak men who run weak families, and no wonder there are weak churches. God would have us to be men, to stand and be counted for Jesus Christ. There is a need for strong men in this generation, because the Bible says this world will wax worse and worse. Folks, it is not getting better. There is a greater need today for strong men and strong families, that we would be light and salt in the earth. This is not a time for weakness. This is not a time for cowards. This is a time for men. And on this Father's Day, I want to challenge you men today to be men. Because our world, our church needs men. So I want you to see with me these four challenges that Paul gives to us concerning men. Notice with me the first. Watch ye. For biblical manhood, the first challenge that we are given is the challenge that we would heed to watch. The Bible says that watch ye. Ben, do me a favor. Pull that down on mine, please. It's a little hot there today. I'm getting a little reverb on number four. Okay? Just slide it down. Thank you. God says that we ought to watch. God wants us to be on guard. That word watch is a word that means to be alert, to keep awake, to be vigilant. What Paul desired for us as men is that we would understand there's a need for us not to slumber. There's a need for us not to be lulled asleep, but to be ever watching. Men, you and I have a responsibility within our homes to be men who are alert, men who are awake, men who are watching, men who are on guard. We need to be ever watching, men, ever ready, ever on guard to keep those under our care from danger. Men, do you realize that as the head of your home, as a father, you have a spiritual responsibility to protect those under your care from the evil influences that seek to destroy their lives? Sir, on this Father's Day, as a dad, you have a responsibility to the children that God has entrusted to your care to keep them from the harm's way of a devil who walks as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes I cringe when I hear of things that parents do. Sometimes I cringe when I think of the way sometimes my own mind thinks, and I have to snap myself out of it. Because here's the reality. It's my job to protect my kids from a lion who wants to devour them. How dare I throw them into the lion's den? Watch. Be on guard. Be alert. Be vigilant. I want you to mark your place here in 1 Corinthians 16. I want you to look at a couple of the passages that really help nail this point down for us. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 for a moment. Luke chapter 12. This is a challenge that we need to accept as men, that we would be ever watchful, that we would be ever alert, to be aware of what is going on around us, that we might be able to protect and guard those under our care. Luke chapter 12, look with me if you would, at verse 35. The Lord Jesus says, we're going to read down through verse 40. "Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. The Lord Jesus says, be watching. He gives the illustration in order to drive this home. If the good men of the house knew when the thief would come, he wouldn't be off slumbering and asleep. He would be at the door waiting for him to come to protect his home. Instead, his home was robbed through. Man, God would have you and I to be ever on guard, to be watching. Turn back to Mark 14. Mark 14, look at verse 32. Mark 14, 32 down through verse 38. Here the Lord Jesus is again praying now in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here he speaks to his disciples. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto him, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it be possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Simon, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Why do we need men who are ready to watch, to be on guard, to be spiritually alert? Why is that a need in our generation? Because, folks, we live in a day where the flesh is so weak. We are bombarded with the flesh. We are bombarded by this world to allure us, by the lust of our flesh, by the pride of our life, through the lust of our eyes. Our spirit might be willing, but folks, our flesh is weak. How do we protect those under our care? We have to be alert. We have to be watching. We have to be aware of the dangers that surround us. You'll remember 1 Peter 5:8, we're told to be sober, to be vigilant. That word vigilant is the same word as to watch. To be sober, to be vigilant. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So the devil wants you to be lulled to sleep. He wants you not to be paying attention so that he can sneak by, destroy your wife, destroy your kids. So open your eyes, be alert, quit slumbering and sleeping, spiritually wake up. Watch ye. That's our challenge, to be vigilant. We live in a day and age where we need to have men like Gideon. Gideon was willing to stand in the gap. Gideon was willing to be a judge for Israel. And folks, it wasn't easy for him, was it? There were hundreds, yea, thousands of Midianites. And God says, it's time now for you to build an army. And so he calls all the men of Israel. Remember the story? God says, there's too many men here. We can never win with this many men. They were already outnumbered. Gideon said, okay, Lord, God said, give them an offer. Those who are too afraid, go home. And folks, a bunch of cowards left that day. And I'm sure Gideon's thinking, wow, I'm glad I get to be the leader of this band. God says, you know what? Still too many. We can never win the battle with this many men. Lord, they all vacated. They were all cowards. How are we going to do it now? He says, you know what? I need a test. Have them go drink by the brook. Those who bend over and cup with their hand with an eye upward, they will be your army. Those who lap like a dog, send home. Remember how many were watching? 300 men. Well, folks, I want you to hear this. God can do more with 300 watchful men than he could with 100,000 cowards who refused to be alert. And he destroyed the armies of Midian with 300 men who would watch. Man, I'm convinced in our day, in our generation, God can do more with a few men who will be alert to be watching and praying than he could do with a whole church filled of cowardly men who refuse to lead. There's enough cowards in this world today. We need men in our generation that will watch and pray. Men, I want to ask you this morning, what kind of man will you be? In Gideon's day, those watchful men help deliver the people from the oppression of sin. And I think God can do that again today. Go back with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 16. Look with me at verse 13. Not only are we to watch, but Paul challenges us now to stand fast in the faith. In our generation, we need men who are vigilant, men who are sober, men who are watching. But we also need men who will stand fast in the faith. I don't think there's a man here today that would disagree with this statement. Our faith is under attack. The gospel is under attack. The truth is under attack. Our faith is under attack. What must we now do? How should we stand as the world around us, as some within the realm, so to speak, of Christianity are attacking the truth? What must we do? Paul says, stand fast in the faith. That word, stand fast, means to be stationary, to be fixed, to be grounded. His challenge is, don't slide. Plant your feet and don't slide. Stand in the faith. Our faith should be firmly anchored. And though the storms will assault our faith should never waver. Men, we ought to be the anchors around which our families can hold on to. The storms of life will come into your home. They will come into our ministry. You are not going to get away from it. But our faith should never waver. Our family, our children ought to be able to come and say, Dad's not moving, neither will we. I may not understand, but he is fixed to the rock of Jesus Christ. He will not move, and we're going to stay by him. They need that. Men who will stand fast in the faith, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes around. Colossians 1:23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Men, we need to stand firm. Not slide. Not be pushed back because someone fights against what we believe. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 tells us, therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. In order to stand as we should, we must avoid being corrupted by the world and its philosophies. This world wants to cause us to drift. They want to cause us to come away from the truth. Man, I think that means you better know the truth. You better know the Word of God. We have challenged ourselves as a congregation that we be growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we be grounded in the truth, rooted in Christ, settled, fixed. There's a need for that today. So many families tossed to and fro. Kids don't know which direction to go. Should I follow God? Should I not? Should I go the ways of the world? Hey, Dad, be that anchor. Plant your feet and do not move. Be a man. Stand for the faith. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We need men who will stand fast in the faith. Men like Daniel. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love that story. It's one of my favorite Old Testament stories. And my favorite part of that story is their response to Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man on the face of the earth. They knew he could throw them into the fiery furnace. And he said, "I'm giving you one last chance." And by the way, I don't think Nebuchadnezzar was polite about it. I think he showed his wrath and fury. You ever been there? "Yes, sir." That's what you want to do, right? Remember that as a kid? Dad came with all the wrath and fury and he was like, "Yes, sir." Fear, right? That's what Nebuchadnezzar brought that day. Know what their response is? "We are not quick to answer you." Basically, we're not even going to take time. We don't have to think about this. Our God can deliver us from you. So if you want, throw us in, but we will not obey you. I love that they're willing to stand like that. You know what they were rewarded with? Walking with Jesus Christ in the fire. Guys, let the fire come. Let the floods rise. But where would you rather be in the storm? In the boat with Jesus Christ? Or alone on the shore? I'd rather be right in the middle of the boat with my Savior in the storm. I'd rather be in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace than to be outside having been a coward and unwilling to stand for Christ. We need men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need Daniels that will say, "I will not stop to serve my God. Throw me to the Lord. My God is bigger than you." Those are the men we need today. Young men, those are the men we need you to grow up into today. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. I think I come to my favorite phrase in verse 13. Quit you like men. Know what that means? Do everything your wife tells you to do. Right? Quit like a man, right? Oh, it's not what it means. Sorry, lady. She thought, "Wow, I got a good one for Mother's Day." That's not what it means. Here's the challenge. Quit you like men. Know what it means? It's the only time this phrase is used in your New Testament. Here's what Paul's saying. Act like men should act. Quit you like a man. Act like a man. As we live in a society that is ever progressing deeper into sinfulness, men need to be men. Sometimes as you train a young boy, there's a time that you have to say to him, "Okay, the foolishness needs to stop. It's time to be a man." My phrase to my boys goes something like this: man up. Okay? You were in the game, you got hurt, quit crying, man up. Why? Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in sports. We're men, right? I've had the boys ask me, Pastor, you going to play paintball with us? I love to play paintball with you, but here's the rules for paintball. No one's allowed to cry. Oh, I'll be honest, it hurts. But we man up. We don't cry when we play paintball. I said, the first boy that cries gets lined up on a firing squad and we shoot you till you stop crying. That's how I play. I haven't been invited back to play paintball in a while. But you know, there's a truth to, we need men to be men. There's a need for men to be brave, not hide like cowards when the battles are in front of us. Guys, it's our job to go to the front lines, to stand and to fight for the faith. Again, we expect certain things of men. In the middle of the night, if you heard someone breaking in, you wouldn't say, I wouldn't say, Amy, go check out that and see what it is. She'd be in the bathroom with the door locked anyway. Okay? I don't go downstairs and say, Parker, there's a noise upstairs. Go find out what it is. Come back and report to Dad. It's not his job. That's my job. Why? Because I'm the man of the house, right? You know what happens spiritually? We cower and we give it to someone else. Well, I don't know if I can make that decision. Be a man. Well, my kids might be upset with me. Be a man. My wife's not going to be happy with that decision. She'll get over it. Be a man. Now, I know some of the wives didn't like that one, but that's okay. It's Father's Day. I'm speaking to your husband today. That's what it means, folks. Paul says it's time for men to be men. You know who that reminds me of? David. For days on end, Goliath came out and defied the living God. And every man of Israel cowered behind the rocks and in their tents, including the king. And a teenage boy walked out and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I'll take his head off his neck." You know what Saul said? "Here's my armor, here's my sword. Report back to me if you survive, because I'm on my chariot ready to run the other way when the Philistines come after us." He was a coward. David said, "I'll fight him." When he stood in front of this 9-foot giant of a man, David didn't stand back in the corner. He ran at him and he took his head off with Goliath's own sword. That's what we need today. Men who will be a man, not cower in the corner, but men who will stand up to say, "I'll be counted for Christ." We need men today. Bible says, "Quit you like men, not be tossed to and fro as a child would by every wind and doctrine, but as a man settled, grounded in the truth." 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men." Men, we need to be spiritual men who understand the Scripture. That's why Paul would say to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to be men. The challenge for every man is, don't shy away. The battles will come. Don't go hide in the corner. Don't hide beside someone else. Be a man. One of the things I greatly appreciate about some of our men in our church, some of our deacons, is that when things are hard and things are difficult, they don't cower behind me. They're willing to stand with me. I appreciate that about men. I want men to be men. I appreciate men who will serve alongside, stand up and say, "We'll be counted." One final thought. Be strong. Be strong. The word there, to be strong, means to be empowered, to increase in vigor. It's the same idea used in Luke's gospel to speak of the growth of the Lord Jesus Christ as a child in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in man. And Paul says, be strong, increasing in strength and vigor. Here's the challenge, men. Don't ever stop growing. Sometimes we think, I have reached a level of maturity. I don't have to go any higher. That does not exist within Christianity, folks. You have never arrived. There's always another level for you to continue to grow. There are always new things for us to learn about our God, about ourselves, about the way that we live, the way that we're supposed to serve. Keep growing. Man, that means we don't come and just tune off. Well, I've got everything that I need to know. Pastor can't teach me anything. I'm just going to shut off. I don't need to learn anything in Sunday school. Weston's doing a good job. I don't need to learn anything. No, keep growing. Be strong. Continue to be increasing in vigor. God wants us to grow stronger in the faith, in our defense of the faith. Each one of us here this morning needs to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each one of us men need to continue to study the Word of God. We need to develop our spiritual relationship with Christ. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. As we're told in Ephesians 6, verse 10. That needs to be ever increasing and ever growing. David, when he gave instruction to Solomon in reference to building the temple and challenged him this way in 1 Chronicles 28:20, he says, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Why? For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That's great instruction. Be strong, of a good courage, and do it. That's what God wants, men, from us. If I were to think through the scripture of the greatest example of this individual, I can only think of Caleb. Caleb, like Joshua, was the only one of his generation not sentenced to die in the wilderness. He's an old man now, 80 plus years of age. You would think it's time for him to retire, time for him to settle down, time for him to allow someone else to do the work. Don't you find about Caleb when they entered the promised land? He fought right along with all the youth of his day. He went with them and fought in every battle. And at the end, when it was time to divide an inheritance, he approached unto Joshua and said, give me this mountain that I may conquer it for the Lord. What do you think? At 80 years old, you say, can I have one of these nice little planes down here? He said, there's more battles to fight. Give it to me because I'll take them on head on. He increased in vigor and strength. Men, God wants us to be men who are strong in the world. Strong in the Lord. Our world is getting worse and worse. And the only remedy for the wickedness of our society is found in the good news of the gospel and the spread of the truth of the gospel through the church. But I'll be honest with you. Our church will never be strong unless our families are strong. And our families will never be strong until men become men and watch and stand fast in the faith, to quit like a man and are strong. Men, there's enough cowards in this world. Let's not add to their number. Let's be godly men who will stand. Not slide, not be pushed around, but stand in love and in the truth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be anchors for our families and for the church, that we in our strength can be a light upon a hill that shines and salt that preserves the wickedness of this world. If in none other place that we as salt preserve our generations to follow, that they not be destroyed by the evil and wickedness that is all around us, that is tempting them at every hand. There's a need for men today. Man, I hope that you would join me in the challenge to receive it from Paul as it's given. A challenge to biblical manhood. It's always easier to go with the flow. It's always easy to follow the current. But what the world needs today is men who will stand against the ways of this world, stand rooted and built up in Christ and according to His Word, according to the faith delivered, and say, we will not be moved. Men who are alert to the dangers around them, who have spiritual wisdom that comes from time in His Word, men who will just be men and say, in love I will lead. Come follow me as I follow Christ. Men with vigor and strength who never quit. Men, it's time for us to be men. It's the need of our generation. Let's pray, please. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge that even comes from your word given to all of us as men. Lord, it's easy for any one of us here as men today to at sometimes say it's just easier to go with the flow. It's easier just to cower away. But Lord, we need to be men like Gideon, willing to stand to the gap. Men like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were willing even to die for what they believed, would never waver. Men like David that wouldn't cower to the enemy, but that would stand firm against them, knowing that he goes in the strength of the Lord. Men like Caleb, who never seemed to run out of any strength at all, but continue to fight all the days of his life for the honor and glory of his God. Help us, Lord, to be those men. Help us to stand firm and fast in these days. Father, may you not only strengthen us as men, but may you strengthen our wives, our families. And as that is happening, Lord, may it strengthen our church for the glory of Jesus Christ. We'll thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name.